God bless you tonight. We are recording on Wednesday night. Pray that the Lord will meet with us and will anoint us, not only the speaker but the hearer, and would come and teach us His word and lift us up in a channel of inspiration where our humanity remains behind, but our spirit is taken up and be able to comprehend the things that are beyond us. Amen. Our scripture reading is from Revelation 21:7. We're still in the series, Christ the Mystery of God Revealed. We're just adding the pieces as the Lord will give them, and we'll come back by His grace and help and help put them all back together again. Revelation 21:7, He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Father God, what wonderful scriptures and what wonderful promise. But there is no more age to come, so we know that this is the age that we would inherit all things, Father. All that Adam lost would come back in the hands of your believers, your children, your sons of God in this hour. This is the age of the supreme anointing upon sonship and your supreme anointing upon the overcomer to bring us to inherit, Lord, the things that you have caused us to be heir to. It is you and it is your promise. It is your work and we are your workmanship. Anoint us. Remembering Brother Lambert, we give you thanks for delivering him. Thanks for rebuking the enemy and the spirit of infirmity. Even we give you thanks and praise for Sister Amarissa. Ask that your blessing continue to bless her and baffle the doctors and bring her to a complete, Lord, fullness of health that she might remember thee and what thou hast done for her. We commit ourselves in your great hands now, everything that we've done and said, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated, and as I have my notes, this is the age of sonship, and in this age of sonship, we are seeing all that Adam lost will come back in the hands of the believer. And we come back in. So we are living in a very glorious time, a wonderful time, an exciting time. And it's just a great time of great expectation, great anticipation. And it's a time where the bride is being lifted up above the realms of her understanding, human understanding of the gospel, to a enlightenment of the mind of God. And seeing his scriptures, how he sees the scriptures, how he wrote them and how they should be read and how they should be seen and how they should be appreciated. So in your Bible, there are many, many layers to the scriptures. If you read the story of Genesis, as we would do somewhere along the line in the next month or two, you will notice that the way we look at Genesis is not the way we used to look at it. Genesis has many layers of stories. And one layer you can talk about, and it seems so wonderful, so truth. And then as you allow yourself to grow, you see greater truths of the very same scripture. And greater truths until you come to a place where you realize that it only takes only a wise God can actually hide things like that. Amen? Amen? Can hide them, hide things like that. So we are grateful. We are thankful. This is the age of the supreme anointing from the seventh seal upon sons to bring us to such an overcoming position that we can inherit. We can inherit. God can trust us with the inheritance. You see? All right. So now there's only two things. You are either an overcomer or you're a victim. When you go through anything in life, you're either overcomer, you can overcome, and you or be a victim. You can go through much suffering, you can go through much injustice, you can go through much, troubles and trials and difficulties. But if you come out of that as a victim, you cannot claim yourself as an overcomer. In other words, we grew up believing that when negative things happen to us, it is for a bad and it leaves us in a worse condition than it met us. Well, if the worst condition comes upon us to leave us in a worse condition that they found us, So troubles come, suffering comes to leave us in a worse condition, then of course there is no wisdom in God. There is no wisdom in suffering. There is no benefits in trials. There is no, benefits in going through injustice and all the things that man has and we have labeled negatively. And so we feel we have the right to be a victim. We feel we have the right to see ourselves and receive pity and receive special treatment. And you must handle you with a little kid glove, and we have to talk to you like a little baby because we don't want to offend you. We don't want to bring up that subject. We don't want to talk about that. You're a victim. Right? If you go through a traumatic experience and you are a victim, then nobody can talk to you. You don't want to talk about it. Or, you know, you have to be careful when we bring up any subjects. You're a victim. See, you're not an overcomer. An overcomer, amen, is one who sees all things that comes their way as opportunities for good. And they look for the good. Because their mind has already been programmed or transformed in knowing that no bad can come, no troubles can come, no suffering can come, no injustice can come, lest it first come through the Creator, the one who set the plan in action. And that Satan is not in control of this world directly. Satan is just a tool being used by God. Satan believes he has free will. Believe, just like most people believe they have free will and that they understand free will. But free will is a secret. It's a secret weapon of God. That when a person becomes a place where they are afraid of free will, in fact the word free is not good for them. They come to a place where Paul didn't like the word free. He liked the word bondservant. I'm a bondservant. I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. You see, I'm a slave. Amen. I don't want to lead. I want him to lead. I want somebody to lead. I want somebody to direct. I want somebody to blame. I want somebody to be accountable. Somebody to take in charge. Somebody that can say, he told me to do that. But the fool wants to be in charge. The fool rushes to lead. You see? So, Scripture says, to everything, that's people, things, situation, necessary evil, there is a season. For how many things? Everything there is a season. And for everything there is a time. And to every purpose under the sun. There's a time and purpose for everything under the sun. Everything. So, there is a season for Hitler. He couldn't come before. It was a season for Pharaoh. That Pharaoh couldn't come before. God had to wait for that Pharaoh to come, knowing that he had to put a Moses in that season. They had to wait for a certain season for Judas to be here, so that Christ can come. They had to have a certain season for Hitler to be here before the fig tree can come. Is that not right? And the spirit that is in every age that comes, it comes in a certain time, in a certain season, amen, for a certain purpose. Certain time, certain season, for a certain purpose. The same spirit, like I was saying, that was on Pharaoh is the same spirit of hate and destruction to wipe out the Jews was on Haman. The same spirit that was on Haman is the same spirit that came on the Romans. The same spirit that was on the Romans was on Simon the sorcerer that could bewitch an entire city. That same spirit came on Hitler, can bewitch a whole nation to hate a people. That same spirit is on the Pope that can bewitch an entire world. That he is a religious man. And have them under delusion. And you say, well, Brother Tony, I'm not under that spirit. When you celebrate Christmas, that's a delusion. A world universal delusion. The world is in a delusion. Under sorcery type spirit. That even make them feel special. And peaceful. And loving. And generous in a season. That has nothing to do with Christ. Now tell me that's not a delusion. See? So there's a time to be born. Just think about Hitler. Think about Christ. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. There's a time to be born. So you are here, and you're here for a time. You're here born for a time. You're born for a certain season. And you are born for a certain purpose. And if you can know that, then you can full-fledged, regardless what, amen, put all your energy into that, because that's what God raised you up for. And what's the best way to spend all your time and energy? If you know exactly what God's purpose for you is. Outside of that, you can spend a lot of wasted time and resources that will bring you no dividends. Short-term, temporary investment. And when you hit a certain age, you're not worried about here anymore. You worry about over there. A time to be born and a time to die. Brother Branham, speaking about purpose, said this. There's another woman in here thinking the same thing right now about her daughter that got killed. Mrs. Waterman. It is Mrs. Waterman. Believe with all your heart now, your daughter was taken for a purpose. She can't die without a purpose. She born for a certain season, for a certain time, a certain season, for a certain purpose, and then when God is ready, He took her for a purpose. Don't doubt, believe God. So your death is part of God's purpose, just like your birth. And He chose when you come, and He chooses when you leave. I know most people don't believe that, because if you believe that, death will become a lot more powerless to you. Death would become very powerless to you. Because Brother Branham just made one trip on that side. When he came back, he said, I was afraid of death. He said, I'm not afraid. You mean I was afraid of this? See? So, do you believe the Creator created all things for a purpose? He created all people for a purpose? All things for a purpose? So when you despise Hitler and hate him, because we feel justified to hate him because he's evil. But yet he said, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. How does that work? Because if you try to do that without revelation and without some kind of motivation, because we are motivated by reward. There must be some motivation that wants to love their enemy desperately and find no fault. If there was no Hitler, there would be no fig tree. If there is no fig tree put in for its bud, there would be no prophet coming on the scene. No prophet. Because his commission was tied when Israel put forth the fig tree with the flags pointed up. Then God sent him around the world. Isn't that what he tied it to? Amen. Was Hitler very important in the plan of God? Very important in the purpose of God? Are you sure? Because I'm going to come back to Hitler. Here's what the prophet says. And everything is here to serve a purpose. How much things? Everything. You got to watch how you see creation. You got to watch how you talk about a rat. You got to watch how you talk about a snake. You have to watch how you talk about all of these things. You have to watch how you talk about it. You have to watch your attitude. Because if you're having attitude not being able to appreciate all creation has a purpose and is important in the plan of God, then you're also going to take that same thinking into racism. You're going to take that same idea into racism. And you're going to think everything outside of your color, everything outside of your nationality, or everything outside of your race, is something might not be right. There's certain things we do, they don't do, so we are better than them. Anything to do with racism, anything to do with racism is an insult to God's wisdom as a creator that created and brought forth people here. And to have any idea, anything that does not appreciate all of God's people, all God's creation, is to find fault with the plan of God, the purpose of God, and to find fault with God Himself. A racist also is a racist when it comes to his God. Because he's holding the God who brought that race that he has a problem with. When he finds fault with them, he's finding fault with him. I don't care whether it's black, white, yellow, green, or brown. You bring reproach on your Maker. The very God you say you love is the very God you are secretly despising in your heart for what He has done. Because they cannot be here on their own. And they have a great purpose in the plan. And when I say they, I mean if you are black, then the they is the white. And if you are white, the they is the brown. Or the black, or the yellow. You see what I'm saying? Because this is a universal message to the bride of Jesus Christ, whose identity is not the color of her skin, and it's not the kind of hair they have, or not the nation they were born with. It's a gene that is from above. And that gene knows no color, it knows no nationality, it knows no race, it knows no traditions. And everything is here to serve a purpose, just as we are here to serve a purpose. Now, Proverbs 3:6 says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him." In how many ways? "And he shall direct thy path." In all your thinking. You can't have ways unless it's part of your character. Your ways, your thinking, your plan, your purpose, your wisdom. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. You believe that? Amen. But watch now. At all times, concerning all things, we must remember the Lord is what? Right? If you don't acknowledge him in all thy ways, you don't believe he's in control. He's in control of how many things? The good, the bad, the ugly. Because you only believe that God is in the good. But yet it's in the bad that you are transformed. Huh? In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, does this mean if you don't look to God and don't believe His control of all things, He will not direct your path? Does this mean that? If He's in control, He's in control whether you acknowledge Him or not. Amen. You acknowledging Him or not is not for His benefit, it's for your benefit. But he's still in control. Whether you acknowledge him or not, he is still in. Still in control. So now let's see now. Will exercising your free will change the outcome of God's plans? You have free will. You can acknowledge him or not acknowledge him. You have free will. Will it change the outcome of God's plans? Will you change the outcome of God's purpose? No. So how powerful is free will? Can a man's exercising of his free will change the outcome of others? Or change the outcome of God's plan and purpose? You have free will. Be careful now. It's tricky. Brother Joseph back there, he's probably thinking, yeah, Adam used free will and it affected me. Oh, really? Did Adam's free will affected you? Did Adam's free will affected you? Yes or no? Yeah, everybody would say, yeah. What's the answer? Yes and no. Yes and no. Adam's free will affected me, yes and no. Right? If you say yes, you're going nowhere. If you say no, well, it's better to be on a no than a yes. You say, well, how? Because it shows me that you're not thinking like humans anymore. You're not thinking the way more humans will think, or religious humans will think. It's a different kind of thinking. So can a man's exercising of his free will change the outcome of others? Or change the outcome of God's plan and purpose? The answer is yes and no. Watch carefully. A man takes a gun and shoots another man. That's his free will. He exercises free will. Is that right? I took the gun. I made the choice. It was my free will. And I fired a shot at Brother Chris. Right? Now that's my free will. Is that not right, Brother Joel? That's my free will. Did I exercise it? Yes. Now, whether Brother Chris gets shot or killed or lives, that is not your choice in free will. The outcome is in God's hands. It is not in your hands. So because you have free will to exercise, doesn't mean you control the outcome. God is in control of the outcome. Right? So Adam sinned, and because all that was in Adam sinned, the outcome was because God wanted that outcome. Amen. I can't hear you. Free will sometimes acts according to how God wants it to work. And if it doesn't, God doesn't allow the outcome to happen. Amen. So don't ever believe your free will can ever change anybody's outcome. So how can you be a victim of anybody? Because people with their free will might do you wrong. I can't hear you. But the outcome of that wrong, what they do, amen, might never have the effect that they thought they will do. Joseph's brothers had an evil intention, and they took their free will and did evil to Joseph. Is that right? They wanted to hurt him. Is that true? Was their outcome successful? No, because you can't change people's outcome. You can't make anybody a victim. See, because it is God that controls the outcome. You can only control your free will and action, but the outcome of that action, God is in control of that. So I ask you the question. Did Joseph's brothers exercise free will to hurt Joseph? Is that right? Did it hurt Joseph? So your free will, you can operate it, but that doesn't mean it's going to do what you think it will do. That's up to God. Amen. And God blessed him. So should Joseph have been a victim? Because if you're a victim, you can never overcome. And this is the age of the overcomer. This is the age of sonship. Amen. This is the age of the supreme anointing to inherit all things. This is the anointing that will bring sons of God into an overcoming position. A man shoots another man. He exercises free will. But he cannot control the outcome. God controls the outcome. He could shoot him. The wind could shift. Somebody could touch him while he fired a gun. The guy could sneeze. The bullet going away. It can hit him on his arms. It can kill him. The outcome is not in your free will. The outcome is in God's hands. So why are we afraid of people and what they do? I can't hear you. Are you catching what I'm saying? Because we have impossible for us to overcome and still have fear. It's impossible for us to have to come to perfect faith and have fear. Amen. And the greatest fear we have is what we cannot control, and that's what other people do with their free will. Therefore, no matter how much free will somebody have, they can do the evil to you, but the outcome is in God's hands. The prophet says, and remember, no matter how great the distress, Satan cannot take your life until God has finished with you. Satan might use a man to fire a gun, take a car, run you down. All he can do, all the evil that he can do. But he cannot control the outcome. He can only take the action. The result of the action is not in his hands. It's in God's hands. Amen. Didn't you could believe that? A man walks in with a shotgun. In a convenience store, you are there buying what you are buying. You have maybe your child with you. Yes, his free will is there. Yes, his free will can act. But can he control the outcome? If God wants you at that time to call you home, it was the outcome God wanted He wanted for you to be home. Because he turns around and said, your footstep is numbered. That's why he told the woman, he said, no, your daughter died for a purpose. She was taken at a certain time, at a certain age, and a certain period of life, because God has a purpose in taking her. I can't hear you. You see, if we don't get ourselves refocused in how we see who is in control, we can never, ever be complete overcomers, and we will always be a victim to someone, and then have bitterness, and have unforgiveness, and be able to be stumbling about in darkness, because you can't operate, God can't trust a man to operate the spoken word power when that man sees himself as a victim. One of these minutes he will turn around and take vengeance. So it is a test to see if you can handle power. Test to see what you will do with power. And if you have a wounded spirit and you're a victim, who's going to trust you with that power? He has to make sure you clean the closet. See, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed, but he says, forgive, when you start praying, forgive, then he enters into, if you say to this mountain. Who done it to you? Tell me, who done it to you? Because we like to talk about who done it to us. Who did us wrong? And we compare notes, brother, you know. So you went through that? But man, you ain't been through what I've been through. you ain't suffer like me. Oh, you run up the tree with your car. How far? Because I want to know if it's further than my... You get what I'm saying? See, we're not getting anywhere without the transforming of our minds. We cannot. It's impossible. It's impossible. We have to see every single thing that happened to us as God permitting it. Every single thing. God is in control of that. And we only think God is in control in the good things. Satan is in control of the bad things. Right then and there, that's on scripture. Satan is not in control of anything directly. He is in control only what God allows him to control and to do. The very story of Job tells us that. Satan cannot take your life until God has finished with you. You believe that? You believe your footstep is numbered? Amen. And therefore, when somebody walks into a store with a gun or some very dangerous thing begins to happen, that you're afraid to lose your life, do you think you could remember that your footstep is numbered and you cannot die? You cannot leave this world because you never brought yourself here and somebody's going to have to take you at your time? I can't hear you. Are you ready? We're going to have to reassess how we look at the whole, everything in life. We have to reassess because we've been looking at it from a closed book.
That's right.
Satan cannot take your life until God has finished with you. There is nothing can happen to you unless God permits it. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. So the man who walks over, slaps you and walks out of the store. You're going to blame the man? Could he have done that without God permitting it? And if God permitted, does God have a purpose in it?
Yeah.
And you are mad and crazy like hell. Is that true? So therefore, we have this one little thing that we need to keep up now. Is this. What anything happened that embarrasses us, causes us pain or shame, we have to ask, is God in it? And if you say no, you have the right to get on in here how you want. But if God is in it, can you say, blessed be the name of the Lord? He's in control.
Meekness. Amen.
You have to have a choice now. You see, we now is meeting the... We are not just letting life go by. We have to become conscious of our conscious thinking. We have to be conscious of our conscious speaking. We have to be conscious because we got to judge ourselves. And like communion, amen, if you're communing with this word, you judge yourself first. If you come for natural communion, judge yourself. You come for spiritual communion with the word, you judge yourself. There's nothing can happen to you unless God permits it. See? So now, God forbid you're going home. There's a car accident. Is it an accident? How can it be an accident if God is all... You just told me God is in control. Can there be anything such as an accident? When we lose loved one in accidents, we cry even more. Because we think it's so meaningless. See, they went so meaningless. You know, they went so foolishly. It's a foolish way to die. Because it's just somebody's mistake or somebody this or somebody that. And we go over in our mind that that should never happen. And why that happened. And one thing. We don't even know how to mourn spiritually. The Lord give it. The Lord take it away. The Lord brought you here. The Lord take you out. Satan cannot take you out until God is ready to take you out. However means he wants to take you out, that's his business. Was the person a victim of an accident? Was she part of the will of God and purpose of God? He told the woman, he said, your daughter, God took her for a purpose. I can't hear you. Can any person die because it was an accident? Can a mistake be made unless God permit it? I can't hear you. See where we're coming to? If you say he's in control, you gotta back it up. Or you can't tell me, well, he's in control most of the time, but you know, every once in a while he kind of goes to sleep. He's the God of Israel, takes a rest every once in a while and gets a little bit wary. There's nothing can happen to you unless God permits it. I can't. You see the key word there? Unless what? I can't hear you. Oh my goodness. Now you think about the thing God permits now and tell me if you're really, really upset with Him. When last somebody gave you a good cussing out? When last did somebody falsely accused you? When last did somebody violently, you know, touched you? When last did somebody, you know, swindle you out of some monies? You understand what I'm trying to tell you? Because we don't think God is in control and empty. The devil is in control because it's a bad thing. Therefore, we become a victim or we become angry. And we want to be, you know, if we're not a victim, then victim means two things. One, the way that you see yourself, perceive yourself, and how you're going to act afterwards. Attitude. It can be one way or the other. Because you're a victim, now you're bitter and angry and vengeful. Or, that you see yourself being done wrong, and somehow that has crippled you. And now you use that there tell your story, get some sympathy, and have the right to behave a certain way because you are a victim. I want to watch the next line here. There is no evil can come. There is no what? Evil can come unless God what? Nothing can happen to you unless God permitted. No evil can come to you unless God permitted. And if it does come to you, it is for your good He is working. No. It don't feel good, so therefore it cannot be good. See where we are? That's where we are. Hollywood doesn't make it easier either. Because they bring more shame to a Christian life, because Christian life will hear a man say certain things or shove them with something, and all you do is say, I apologize, sir, and go on your business. Say, you have your friends there from the world. You taking that disrespect? What's wrong with you, man? You're a man? What's going on? You see, the devil, this. The Hollywood way. Then you have to now. Now they touched you, or they have just embarrassed you, or something is happening there, and then now everybody's a spectator watching you. Now, if you don't act, you're weak. If you don't act, something wrong with you. How can be something wrong with you? When the word of God said that exact thing of them watching you is all the pressures put in you to see how you'll react. And that's part of the test. Don't feel bad about it. I failed one in Spain. Barcelona. Yes, sir. After all these years, I forgot all about what I thought. It just left me. Couldn't think about anything. I'm telling you, friends, This is the season. These are the promises. We are the people. And I believe with all my heart, we are so close. So close to great things. The prophet of God says that seen as long as they are protected by the church, Satan cannot get them. He's talking about there's privileges of being under a church. Did you know that? Whether you're a make-believer, whether you're a believer, whether you're... You understand that? There's a protection of being under a church. But when the church loose them from under the protection, or they take themselves from under the protection of the church, the blood of Christ, then Satan will go to work on them. So even Satan cannot touch somebody who is not right in the church. He can't touch them unless God permit it. You might not be where you're supposed to be, but still Satan can't touch you unless God permit it. And if he does, it's for our good. I like that. I appreciate your prayers when you heard the little accident. Listen carefully now. He calls it a little accident I had. It just goes to show that Satan cannot take you until God's what? Ready for you. Actually, brother, do you think it was an accident that the shotgun went off in Brother Branham's face? Or did it come out to be a great message, letting off the pressure? I can't hear you. I hope you catch my thinking. Don't let the words, learn to think clearly. For a believer, is there anything God is not in control of? And for a believer, if you believe that, can there be any accidents or coincidences? So we have to learn to rethink. Because if you're crying more when a loved one dies from an accident than when they die a natural death, what's the difference? You see what I'm saying? Now let's take a premeditated act. You're walking down the street with somebody you know, and somebody just takes up a gun and shoots them there for no reason at all. A premeditated act, they called it. Is God still in control? Did God permit him to die? Do you believe that God knew that that was the moment and time he had to go, and God signed off on it? You see what I'm saying? To go through this whole thing, well, no reason to shut the man. He's so evil. He's so bad. This is how the world is getting, and bam, bam, bam. Now, you tell me. Now, on a human thinking, you might have them. But a son of God thinking, you think that has any importance? Any relevance? We have to reassess the values of our life. We have to reassess if we actually believe God is in control of all things. And we have to actually believe that all of these things are simulated. Even death has no power. It's just a game. It's part of the game of salvation. You put your hand and you do wrong, you get zapped. You don't put your hand, something else zaps you. I can't hear you. Right? You say, well, why is that? Because the zapping is not to say who's good or bad. The zapping is to get reactions and teach you how to think. That God is in control of all things, good or bad. Everybody okay? One more. Satan cannot harm us. Lord, he could do everything he can do. He can't touch us. I can't hear you. Are you sure? This is it. You believe thus say the Lord. You believe the prophet. Do you think he's right? Do you think he knows what he's talking about? When you turn him loose on Job one time, you said, don't you take his life. God, if he does it, he has parameters. Remember, Baba, God put a harness on troubles, and he harnesses it. Don't you take his life. He done everything but take it. But he couldn't do it because your promise was still here to Job. Now, follow now. Amos. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Because a trumpet was a sign and a warning that there's danger or war coming. Right? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord had not done it? I can't hear you. Is he in control even when evil comes? What's Zephaniah talking about our day? The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasted greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord, which is the voice of judgment. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. Well, they did. For 9/11, they cried. That day is a day of wrath. They started already. The day of trouble started already. And distress, not one day, you know. This is the day. This whole dispensation is a day. In the day when the Son of Man is revealed, it's not one day. Is that true? The day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wastingness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick clouds, a day of trumpet and alarm against the fenced city and against the high towers. So I ask the question, was God in 9/11? Was he in control? Is God in the pandemic? Fair enough. So tell me now, if God is in control, what a man's free will can do? I'm going to give you one. This is a true one. A man exercises free will to jump out of a tall building. This is right, right? Goes up to a tall building, opens the windows, very high building. It's his choice, his free will, his will to jump out the window. He jumps out the window. The wind was so strong up on that height of the window, it blew him back to the lower floor ledge. Now, he could exercise his free will, but the outcome is in God's hands. He did exercise his free will, yes. But God controlled the outcome. So your free will, you can go and exercise it, all right? You say you have it, exercise it. But you cannot exercise, you can't control the outcome. God controls the outcome. William Branham had the right to take the gun and shoot himself. But the outcome, he couldn't change the fact. And God, what did God do? God stopped the gun. Misfiring. Can't fire. He threw the ground down, it fired. How powerful is your free will then? We're always worried about what people can do. Let people do what they want. They want to lie, let them lie. They want a false accuser, let them false accuser. They want to steal, let them do what they want to do. Because God still controls the outcome. Otherwise, you're always going to worry what your neighbor who's a thief going to do. I can't hear you. The outcome is not in your hands. Your free will is, go ahead and act on it. But you can't control the outcome of what you did. So how powerful is your self-will? Your free will. How powerful is it? So doesn't it make sense to acknowledge God in all thy ways since he's in control of everything? I can't hear you. Makes it a lot easier, doesn't it? To trust in the Lord with all your heart because he's in control of all things. And listen, and when you see he's in control of all things, all possibilities that ever can exist, right? It's possible. All states exist. All you have to do is start focusing on something in God's word that you want a certain state. And start observing it, paying attention to it, until it begins to draw the picture in your mind. And the very evidence you desire it is the evidence that it exists. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. So if you have a hope to be healed, it's evidence. It's like substance. It says it must exist because I need it. I can't hear you. You can't thirst for water if it doesn't exist. You understand? So your very desiring of something is the very evidence that substance exists. Faith is the evidence. Faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for. It is real. Amen. Because if it wasn't real, you can't hope for it. So there's something there that will satisfy you, your thirst. It is out there. And if you never hear the word water, you will not recognize it. But when you taste it, you will know this is what you were thirsting for. This is what you wanted. So now, we have this saying that, brother, you know what happens? Really, really bad things happen. A bad thing happened, he died. A bad thing happened, he got shot. A bad thing happened. They stole my money, a bad thing, everything. So now we need to know what is a bad thing. What is bad thing? A bad thing is something that was not supposed to happen, but happened. They're not supposed to steal from you, but they stole, so that's a bad thing. They're not supposed to hurt you, but they hurt you, so that's a bad thing. A bad thing is something that happened to you that should not happen to you. A good thing is something that should happen to you that happened to you. So how many bad things happen to you? How many things in your life you're going to call a bad thing happened to you? Brother, it was bad growing up there. It was my parents were bad. I grew up in a bad home. I grew up in a bad this. I grew up in a bad that. See? So you were supposed to be brought up in a place, you were brought up in a place that you were not supposed to be brought up. Now you tell me where you're supposed to be brought up, because God is in control, so I want you to tell me. If bad thing means, or a bad person means, a person who acts in a way that they should not act, or bad thing is something that happened to you that should not happen to you, then if it happened to you and it's bad, God is not in control of bad. Because you just tell me God is in control of all things. And look how much bad things happen more than good things. So God is in control of more bad things then, I guess. So how many bad things have happened in your life? Or would you like some time to restate your position that they never had a bad thing happen to you? Because if God is in control, how can be a bad thing? For all things work together for the good. How can anything be bad then? Sister Joan, what is the bad thing, the worst thing, not the worst, the baddest thing ever happened to you? Something that happened that should not have happened. Tell me something. God forbid, God takes Sister Anna. That would be a very bad thing, wouldn't it? Would it be a bad thing? And you just told me God is in control and her footstep is numbered and Brother, I'm telling a woman, God took your daughter because it's a purpose. So is it a bad thing? I can't. Was it a bad thing that Joseph's brothers did? They shouldn't have betrayed him. They shouldn't have sold him into slavery. They shouldn't. I've treated them so badly. It's a bad thing, right? Was it a bad thing they did? I can't hear you. You mean the guy who came to the throne because of them? How can coming to the throne be a bad thing? I can't hear you. What bad thing has happened in your life that you labor bad? What past things that you have that you labor bad? If you labor it bad, it means something happened that should not have happened, which means it slipped through God's control. But if it didn't slip through God's control and God is in control, was in control of bad things? Or all things work together for good? I can't hear. Make up your mind now. You can't hide now. The word will not permit you to hide. It comes to search us. It comes to build us up. And it comes to transform our mind. Amen. And be renewed. Got any bad things, sister? Happened? No. And you got any bad memories, brother? No bad. No. Everybody. Well, praise God. Amen. Is all things possible? All states possible?
Yes.
Amen. Do you want to start observing it? Paying attention to the state that you want? The possibility that that state exists? So how powerful is people to do bad things to you? If all things work together for good, if somebody does bad things to you, is it bad things they're doing? I can't hear you. They meant it for bad, God meant it for good. So the question about it, God is in control, so how what they're doing is bad? It's only bad because of their free will. They're dark in free will, but they can't change the outcome. The outcome is for good. It could never be bad.
Amen.
I know what you're thinking. I lost my mind. Right? Let's lose it a little bit more. Because that's the only way we can grow is if I lose this thing. Right? I lose this thing. All right? So I'm going to tell you something now. So what is bad? Something that happens that should not happen. Because you call it bad. If it's something good that happened that should happen, you wouldn't call it bad. You'll call it good. So again, then all accidents must be bad then. I can't hear you. All accidents must be bad then. There's this very wealthy man, very wealthy. He had a very big job, very, very big job. Work was very important work. So in summertime, there was this summer camp, so he decided to occupy his child at the summer camp. Let them stay over, and that way, you know, he can continue his work. But he loved his child, and the boy that went to the summer camp, eventually one day in the summer camp, he broke his leg in a couple places. And when the father heard that, he was really, really upset. So he said the summer camp people were careless and neglectful, and that's why his child got hurt, and he filed a lawsuit against them. And so after they had went to the hospital and had the legs reset a couple of times, and then the boy was in a cast for a long time. Then about 2 months later, they were ready to take the cast off. So his very expensive, very important job, he had to take a day off. He was even so upset with that. He had to take a day off. And he had to take the boy to the hospital to take the cast off. So he took the boy to the hospital, took the day off, went to take the cast off. And while taking the cast off, the news came on that the place where he was working was just bombed because two airplanes and 9/11 crashed into it. Now what happened to the boy? Was it bad? He dropped the lawsuit. Apologized, Because what he thought was bad was actually good.
Hallelujah.
I want to ask you, was the breaking of the boy's leg actually bad? But watch carefully. Bad means something that not supposed to happen, happened. Right? But if it was something that not supposed to happen, happened, if it didn't happen that way, he wouldn't have been alive. So how bad is bad? Is there any bad? Or is all things work together for good? So therefore there is no bad. Even in when things not so bad. Now watch, I have one more thing. So are you omniscient? You know all things? So when bad things happen, you call it bad because you don't know what's going to happen 2, 5, 10 days down the road. So how can you label it bad? And if you say God is in control, then you make God bad. All things work together for the good. Is God in control of all things? Does he have a purpose and a time for all things? Oh, ain't God good? Amen. How is death feeling now? How is about dying and the danger of death? How is it feeling now? Did you ask him what is your last step number? Are you conscious that there is a number and that God only knows it? Are you conscious that no one can take you till that number hits? Are you conscious that if somebody walks in with a gun, if you gotta go, that must be your last number? If it is, bless the name of the Lord. I can't hear you. Or you're gonna weasel and say, please don't kill me, I wanna live a few more days. I can't hear you. That's why Jesus said to Pilate, he said, don't you know I have power to free you? He said, you have no power but what my heavenly Father has given you. I can't hear you. Amen. For all of us who've got a yellow spine all the way down when it comes to death, I say, let them yellow spots come off your back. Something that happens that should not happen. How do you know that should not happen? Are you God? Are you omniscient? But then he works all things according to his good pleasure for his own purpose, and you say he's a good God. I can't hear you. See? Let God be God. And let us keep quiet and be still like he says. I can't hear you. Let God be God and we be still. Now if we say, then all accidents must be bad. Then everything that causes suffering must be bad then. What Eve did, was it bad? She did something that she shouldn't do, but God wanted her and needed her to do so that God, amen, can become a savior. I'm kind of confused now. Did what Eve did, was it good or bad? I know you're going to say good and bad. See, now you're stuck between a closed book and an open book. In the closed book, it is bad. In the open book, she was working right according to the purpose of God. Can't hear you. Was the injustice of Joseph's brother that they did, was it good or was it bad? Closed book, bad. Open book, good. See? Was Hitler murdering the Jews? Was that good or bad? Because Hitler wanted to kill all the Jews. That was his free will, was to kill all the Jews. God said, no, only 6 million, just to cover what they, the blood they asked for. Let his blood be upon us. But I can't let it kill all because I need 144,000. Yes, I can't hear you. Was it good? I can't hear you. Amen. See? So who's in control? Hitler? I can't hear you. He said, but there are 200 million demons. Who permit the 200 million demon? Because see, they can't do nothing unless God give them permission. I said, Brother Tony, I don't know now. You're putting a lot of bad things on God. I put in all the good things. I put in everything on God. If I don't put everything on God, Satan is in control of something that God is not control of. And I don't want that ship. So now, your thoughts of good and bad. Does thoughts have a bearing on your present? Past thoughts. Present thought. Imaginary future thoughts. Can't hear you. Therefore, we got to be careful now. Be careful how we think. Because if we think things are bad, they are bad things, then we always accept everything with a negative. And if God is sending a bad thing which is good, and you don't know that the bad thing is good for you, you are going to resist it. And in so resisting it, you are resisting God. And finding fault with it, you are finding fault with God's program. And to speak evil, to murmur and complain, means that you are not meek because you don't believe God is in control. You only say that, but you don't believe that. Because the meek believe God is in control and nothing bad can come to them unless God permit it. Therefore, the bad coming to them is for a good. So you cannot complain, you cannot murmur. You accept and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Let the Lord have his way. Let the Lord fulfill his purpose. And you could be still. And you don't have to practice that. All you have to do is know the key. And you are forced to want to say, let the will be done. So your thoughts and thinking shapes your future. That's right. It does. So I want to ask you, the couple of thoughts that we are talking about, the concepts we are talking about, do you think it will change you when you leave here? Do you think it will change your attitude towards using the word bad things? Do you think it will change your attitude about how you see death, how you see accidents, how you see people's action? Their free will, people acting in their free will to do bad things, but can they control the outcome to make it bad for you? No, because it will work for good. Otherwise, God lied. We are so focused on people and their rights to exercise free will to hurt you or to do this or to do that. That's powerless. Focus on the outcome of it. They can do what they want. If God changed the outcome, what are you going to do? Right? Look at Pharaoh. He has free will. He said, I'm going to go, I change my mind, I'm going to destroy them. I have a right to change my mind. I'm going to go around there and destroy them. He had a right to do it. He did it, but what was the outcome? He can't control the outcome. Now, if you don't change your mind based on the concepts that we are telling you concerning that all states exist, and faith is when you begin to pay attention to a scripture or to evidence that someone taught you in the preaching of the word, And you pay, begin to pay attention, you begin to draw that picture in your mind of what you should be in a healed condition, how you will be, see yourself, how you would act, and so forth. If you don't conceive that and begin to draw what's in your mind in the state that exists out there and line that up, it'll never collapse into the single state and become a reality. If you still labeling things bad, and you are knowing what is good and what is bad, Joseph would have called what happened to him bad, but that would have been ignorance because it was actually for a good. I can't hear you. So in our ignorance, we actually find fault with God. And we live all our life expecting negative to be bad, that when it happens, it creates a negative and we resist it and we complain and we murmur and we ground God from teaching and carrying us greater, because He will only teach the meek. He will only guide the meek, and only the meek will inherit the earth, because they are the only one who can master creation, because they know who is in control. They know the laws, and that God can trust them with power, because for them, the good is the trouble. The bad is the good. My good friends can't do nothing for me, but all my enemies can sure help me. See how foolish we are? That's how blind we are. That's how blind we are. How many years we've been in message now? All of us. And yet they're taking a rapture. They're going for adoption son. They're going for spoken word. Unless you come through this criteria of the transformation of your mind, transforming your mind, not being conformed to behave the way we normally behave in a closed book, but be transformed by the new open book and see. Oh, that's the only time. Are you seeing? I want to ask you, are you seeing? Are you understanding? Oh, something is happening, brother. Something good is going to happen to you. I will say that. Something good is happening to us. Amen. I'll rub all rubbers from that line. You know, all rubbers say, something good is going to happen to you. No. Something good is happening to you. Your mind is being transformed. The wise virgin is actually wise. Now, if you leave here with your same thinking about evil, evil people, bad, what is bad, still concerned about death, calling things an accident, it's your same thinking. You're going to have the same feeling, you're going to have the same action, you're going to have the same reaction, and you're going to get the same results. And therefore, you are not changed a bit, you just left here the same way. Nothing happened. Having the same thinking or the same thoughts does not change your life very much at all. You just keep doing it every day. You think about bad as the same way. You think about evil the same way. You think about the dangers of losing your life the same way. You think about, people power to do evil, their free will to do evil, and you can't consider that the most powerful thing, when the most powerful thing is the outcome, and that God holds that outcome. So what would you fear? Why would you fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light. He has brought this light, this day of transformation. See, arise and shine, thy light, this day has come. See, and the glory, which is God's opinion of His entire thinking and purpose, has been made known to us. Amen. See, the glory of the Lord is descending upon us. See, oh, the Lord is my light. I'm not afraid. All the evil that you're doing, the Lord is the light in it. There's light in the evil you're doing. There's good in the evil you're doing. Was there not wisdom and knowledge in the evil the brothers were doing? But it was hid from them. Even their free will to exercise it for evil was the wisdom of God to bring him to the throne. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, not your free will. Not that you have a right to be evil, a right to fire a gun, a right to, you know, to do this. You have the right, but God has the right to shape the outcome. Who are you going to fear? That's our rapture scripture, brother. Oh, ain't God good? Is there power in it? If you have the same thinking or thoughts you came in here with, do not change your life. You leave here going out the same way. To change, we must think about how we think. You have to think about how you're thinking. You have to be conscious of being conscious of your thinking, conscious of your speaking, conscious of your feeling, and then ask it to shut up and be still because God is in this. We cannot. We to change, we must think about how we think. We must become conscious about our subconscious. Got to be conscious of our subconscious. When you see habits and you're just reacting, you've got to stop that. Because nobody's going to stop it. They're going to criticize it and say, well, he's so and so and so. It's only you could say, that's not me. I don't want that. No, no, I condemn that. Amen. No, no, no. The same thoughts and same thinking produces the same choices and conclusions. You come to the same conclusions, the same behavior, thus habits. Habits is when your body becomes the mind. Habits that you, because you don't use the mind anymore. It's like the body becomes the mind, just go and do the thing. Such a habit. You know how many times I am driving from my home, coming this way to go somewhere, either to Lowe's or somewhere I'm going. And I find myself almost by the church, and I'm going, what am I doing here? I'm not. Never happened to you? Why? And my mind wasn't even thinking. So our belief, which is your value system, our thinking, feeling and action shapes our personality. Therefore, you have to catch and be conscious of thinking about how you think. And thinking and watching how you speak. Then you can be transformed. And if you're catching how you are seeing evil people, how you're seeing things and labeling it a bad thing, and how you're seeing the power of people with free will, how they have choice to hurt you, a choice to kill you, a choice to steal from you, a choice to do this, and you're focusing on that and not on who's in control of the outcome, then fear will reside with you. Our belief, our thinking, feeling and action shape our personality. Your personality is the sum of your life. Your personality is the sum of your total life. It is when you take belief and add it to your thinking and feeling and action, that's the sum of your life. To transform your life or personality, we need to change our belief, our thinking and our feelings. And right now we're working on the belief system. Do you believe God is in control of all things? You believe even though man have free will to hurt you, to plan evil for you, but that is not where the power is. The power is in him who gave them the free will. Also, he reserved himself control of the outcome of what they do and how it will affect you. So therefore, if you're a victim, you're a victim because you have to blame God. You can't blame them because they have the power for choice. But God has the power how it will affect you. So who are you going to blame? Who are you going to be bitter about? Who are you going to be unforgiving? And if God permitted, you have a reason. And if you're crippled by it, it's because you have not learned how good God is and what He wants to teach you. To transform your life or personality, we need to change our belief and our thinking and our feelings. See, a meek person is not a complainer. How they can complain? They believe that God is in control. To them, there is no good or bad. Something bad happened. That's a bad person. That's a bad thing that happened. Because to do that is to say you know the future, that the thing that happened should not have happened. And you're willing to be so proud and arrogant to say that? Every time you say it's a bad thing, it's arrogance. And look how God has long suffered with our arrogance. And then we murmur. We murmur. We complain, we murmur. And then call ourselves the meek shall inherit the earth. Well, that's why we haven't inherited any power to actually control the earth yet. If you're murmuring and complaining, you're murmuring about your husband, you're murmuring about your wife, you're murmuring about your neighbor, you're murmuring about, you know, about your bad neighbor, you're murmuring about everything you murmur and complain about, yet God is in control. I mean, I hearing that, don't you think that's going to hurt me? I'm in control of everything, I have a plan, I know it's going to end. And you murmuring along the way, and yet you're telling me, you believe I'm in control. So you believe I'm in control, so I'm to blame. So your murmuring is actually against me. I can't hear you. Accept people and their faults and the way they are, because they are good for you. Accept. That is the key word. The word is accept and salvation. That's the key thing. If you want anything, accept. Accept what has happened as bringing suffering, but it is for a good because God is in it. And if you are not that person, then don't expect God to guide you into His Word. Because the meek you will guide in judgment is His Word. His actually true understanding of His true Word. His true judgment of thing, of what He means and what He thinks. And the meek will He teach His way. Unless we get this right, He's not going to take us any higher. But I guess we start taking this thing right. And having our minds transformed the way we think, it will change the whole atmosphere of your house. It will change your whole atmosphere of you. It will change your whole aurora around you. Because there's no negative. You don't see any negative. Look at Jesus. Look at Judas around him. Judas is going to betray him. He's going to suffer because of what Judas is going to do. And yet, he never tell the others what Judas is. He never treated Judas any badly. Right? Never exposed Judas. Why? Because Judas was the most important person at that time. He had the right time at the right season for the right purpose. Because without Judas, no story of Joseph being betrayed and sold for silver. I can hear you. Oh, there you throw off the tithe, you can't even prove he's Messiah. Look at that. Imagine how us would behave knowing what he's going to do us. Oh my goodness, you know, we acting and proving how bad he is and he's evil. We can't keep quiet. You want God to guide you? Then believe he's in control and everything that happens to you or around you, there should never be a complaint and there should never be a murmuring. And he will guide you. He will teach you his secret ways. For the Lord had taken pleasure in his people. He had beautified the meek with salvation. Complete, total salvation. The meek. The meek is tied with God teaching them. The meek is tied with God guiding them. The meek is tied with God's pleasure and beautifying them with salvation. The meek shall inherit the earth. I think I want to be the meek. Don't you? Yeah. I'll become a son later. Let me be meek first. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Blessed are the children of God, for they shall be called the children of peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. The meek also shall increase their joy. You want some joy? He will increase it. And the Lord lifted up the meek. I think I like the meek. What do you think? Huh? So are you a defeated believer? Are you a victim? Are you a victim of fear? Are you a victim of seeing all these bad things happening? Or are you a victim? Are you a victim? Are you a defeated believer where your past experiences destroys your present and future? Where your negative feelings come over and over to torment you? And where you always can't help but speaking negative? I am a victim. I'm not an overcomer. Are you that kind of believer? Are you a victim who's overcome made you a victim? Whose outcome made you a victim? If you're a victim, who do you blame for being a victim? Was Joseph a victim of his brother's cruelty? Was he a victim of the brother's free will that they intend to be cruel? Who was in charge of Joseph's outcome? The evil that they did or God? But the outcome they had, no control. That is in God's hands. So are you a victim, friends? Or are you an overcomer? Are you the meek of the earth? Yeah. Well, then God will guide you. God will clothe you with salvation. Beautify you with salvation. God will cause you to inherit the earth. God is going to give you great joy in the, have great joy in the Lord. These are the promises for the meek. The meek does not ask why this is happening to me. The meek doesn't have to do bad for bad things to happen to them, because nothing bad can happen because God sent the, what they are calling bad. You get that? So what grounds do they have to complain? What grounds do they have to murmur? They've been bought with a price, and God bought them so he can shape and mold them in the way that he will be glorified. Amen. Looking for something, I can't seem to find it. Well, I don't see it. So guess what? It seems like we have an early service today. I don't have it. I don't see it. And But I wanted to speak to you, to tie this in with the first commandment. But we will get to it on the Friday. All right. All hearts be clear. Remember to pray for Brother Lambert and give God thanks for his goodness. And Sister Amarissa, Brother Ricardo's daughter, that God will continue to strengthen them and cause them to remember how good he is to them. And remember that all things work together for good, that we can practice our priesthood and our lifting up in our duties that he calls us to do. Amen. God bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you and give us all much grace. Until we meet again on Sunday, God be with you. Amen.